Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and today I have four designers that we're going to be talking to. And the most exciting part for me about today's show is that everybody we're talking to is passionate about fabric and about color and pattern, and all of them do things that are a little bit more explosive, I believe, in their area of expertise. So, you know, you're going to really be inspired, just like I was, collecting all of their names. First person we're going to talk to is Tina Givens, and Tina designs for Free Spirit Fabric, and I have loved Tina's fabric ever since I saw the very first piece of it. It's very eclectic. The work inspires me to want to go and use her fabric. It is just fabulous. So I'm so excited to have Tina on here, and she's going to talk to us about her fabric and also a little bit about linen, which she is also passionate about. Hi, Tina. How are you?
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Oh, I'm very good. I'm so excited to talk to you.
I am too. I think this is my first radio appearance, so I'm very excited.
Oh, good. Good. So, Tina, tell me about your background, because you have done other things. You didn't just jump right into designing fabric, did you?
No. I have an economics degree.
Oh, my.
I think my dad was very much like, you're not going to do fine art, you're going to business school. Yes. So off I went, and I managed to get through it. And then I had a sales and marketing career for a long time, but was always passionate about my art and so on and so forth. And finally just burned out, that I went back home to my husband and said, I'm not doing this anymore. I want to paint and draw and do something crazy. And when I lifted his chin off the floor, he said, okay, and changed my whole life. And now I do what I love to do. So, and encourage others to stop in their tracks and do the same thing if they can.
Oh, I love hearing stories like that, because I think that your passion shows in the work that you do now. Your patterns are so amazingly creative, Tina.
Yeah, they've definitely got a unique common thread, if you will, through them all. They have. I've always been designing clothes since I was very little, so that was my start. And in fact, in Africa, we sewed with coat thread. Well, Westminster Fibers and our Free Spirit is owned by Coat. So it came full circle. You know, it's like, wow. You know, I didn't design for a year after they asked me to do it, because I was so overwhelmed.
Now, did you grow up in Africa?
I did. I grew up in Zimbabwe, now Zimbabwe. And you just went to Africa.
I did.
That's so awesome.
It was very exciting, yeah. So do you think that your style, your artistic style, your drawings are inspired by your childhood there, since it was a little bit different? You know, possibly, you know, you were playing with elephants instead of dogs and cats.
Yeah. Although we had dogs, we didn't have a pet elephant. I think we're all inspired by our backgrounds and where we grew up and who our family is and events in our life. So, you know, and it really didn't occur to me until much later into designing, when someone actually came up to me and said, wow, I see this sort of tribal thing happening. I'm like, what? So sort of step back and now I clearly see it, you know, but I also have this sort of English, my mom's side of family was very English, and my dad's side was a Mediterranean, you know, history there. So, you know, I think it's sort of this mix that's there with sort of a European flavored sort of dress sense as well.
Well, tell me a little bit about how you develop a a fabric line, because the pieces, each piece is so spectacular. It has so much energy. You know, your fabric doesn't have little tiny prints in it. You have big splashy things.
Right. And I get a lot of complaints about that. Quilters out there. I think, it's very hard for me to draw back and maybe do something that's really sort of a basic print. And I'm trying so hard. I've got a new range out now that's very quilter friendly, and I love it. It's called Fortney. And I'll tell you a bit about that. But I think when I design a collection, it's sort of sparked by something, like maybe it's a bird or maybe it's a book. Pernilla's journey was based on a childhood book. There weren't any elephants in it, but I threw in a few because the whole story revolved around my childhood and me growing up in Africa. So those memories kind of conjured up the elephants. It could be a garden, it could be something. A peacock recently got a new collection in the works, and it's got a great peacock and doves in it. And I think, I start with that, and then it spurs on from there. And then it's like a puzzle and putting all these pieces together. Like I'll paint and paint and paint, and then I'll start putting all the pieces together and playing with scale, and then the color comes into the mix. So it's quite a complicated process. It's really wonderful, though.
Do you paint everything first and then
everything,
you digitize?
Yes.
Okay, so you're painting.
Yes, I will sketch everything in pencil, and then it's either, I use a lot of watercolor and some ink, and then we scan images, and we start placing them. But they all first start out with pencil.
So let's talk about
a lot of my hand. I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
You can see a lot of sort of my actual pencil strokes. You can actually see them in the ink. Like, I don't have a smooth hand, so, I don't like to smooth it out in a computer. We keep it as it is, so it's very, original.
Ah, that's good. That's interesting. Now people can go and look at your work and see that, your actual, your hand drawing in it. So that'll be neat.
You can actually see the sketching.
Mm-hmm.
So,
let's talk about linen, because, quilters love texture, and linen has such fabulous texture. And there are a lot of people who do, put some linen in their quilts. Why do you like linen so much?
I love it because to me, it's such an authentic fabric. I mean, cotton is beautiful to work with, and I love different weights of cotton. But we, with Westminster, we also do linens, and it's a linen cotton, so it's not so wrinkly as 100% linen, and it's just gorgeous to work with. I find it easier to work with than cotton, because there's sort of this open weave to it, and I love the way linen washes up, and it's so soft, and washing makes them just softer and softer, and the fabric just is luscious to me. I love it. All my clothes are linen.
Do you think that it ravels a little bit more or not because you like the blends?
I think the 100% cotton, the 100% linen will ravel more than a cotton blend.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, unless you're stitching it and steaming it, it'll be fine. But you've got to make sure that, in cotton you can get away with maybe not edging finishing the edges, whereas in linen you need to.
Okay, so like if I'm putting it in clothing, you would need to be sure your edges are all serged or zigzagged something.
Well, not my clothes.
Right.
I'm sort of known for that raw edge, ripped off. My mother would always look at me in horror, like, you haven't even finished the hem. But the inner quilt, you'd have to make sure you're finishing those seams, because you don't want your quilt to unravel when you wash that quilt. But I love the raw edging. I think a frilly with a raw edge is just gorgeous on either a garment or a quilt.
And you have, you're also a pattern designer, and a lot of your patterns are for clothing.
Yes, I do. We have some accessories. I have handbags, and they're all named after my aunts. And it's cookie. And then Fortney is my latest fabric collection. All my bags, and then I have lots of garments for adults and women, and then children, the girls, and then infant. And the patterns really have grown up as my daughter has grown up, you know, from when she was little. Mm-hmm. And if you look at my sewing patterns, you can see her name's Amelia, and you can see Amelia growing up in the patterns. Mm-hmm. And now she's 10, so she's sort of becoming this little lady. Mm-hmm. And so the patterns have become old for older girls as well.
Yeah, yeah. You have an instant model, a built-in model right at home.
Oh, she's so great. I mean, she doesn't wear my clothes. She's a real sporty little lady, and she's a gymnast. But she, you know, when you put her in a garment, so, okay, strike a pose, she is so on. It's amazing. Very photogenic. I was very lucky to have her. And now, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I've got to find little people now to model for me. But and then the apparel is so fun for women, and I find I've grown. You know, at first I was a little skeptical of putting myself out there in the patterns because my taste in my clothing was so unique. But mm-hmm. I find the more flavored I do it, the more the pattern sells. So they're becoming more and more like I would wear.
Mm-hmm. I just really love them. You know, Tina, this has been just amazing to have you come on and tell us about your work.
I really appreciate it. And I love what you do. And I love the site. I'm going to have to get some projects up there. I don't have any on your site. So,
well, you can just send them in to us. We'd love to see them. I want you to go visit your website at tinagivensoneword.com, and you can check out her patterns and her fabrics. And thank you so much, Tina.
Thanks so much, Pat. It was such a pleasure talking with you.
We're going to take a break with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and we'll be right back. I'm your host, Pat Sloan.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 hook. Sew quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit Bernina.com/7 Series. Bernina, made to create.
Welcome back to the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. These collections are hot, hot, hot. Fig Tree is back with a new collection called Tapestry, which weaves together Greek and Moroccan influences for a beautiful result. We're mad for the plaids in the We Woven's Brights collection. Next, pull up an Adirondack chair and enjoy the Ocean View by Paul Brent. And finally, Three Sisters delivers a delicious helping of double chocolat with scrumptious colors of dark chocolate, cherry, caramel, and vanilla bean. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Studio. I'm Pat Sloan, and I am going to be chatting with Scott Hansen from Blue Nickel Studio. Scott has just an amazing style. He also is not afraid of color and not afraid of pattern and does amazing work putting together all of the things that we quilters love and just making it sort of sing and have a whole new look and a whole new style. So, Scott, thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you. I appreciate it.
You know, Scott, I'm just, you know, you have got such an amazing thing going on all the time. You know, you take fabric and put it together in just really unique ways. How in the world did you get started quilting?
Well, my first quilt was back in the 70s when I was in high school, or junior high, actually, and it was very ugly. But it was a crazy quilt because I was really into history and stuff, and no one in my house had a quilt, so I thought the crazy quilts were kind of cool. So it's very 70s, and I guess maybe those 70s colors maybe stuck with me. I, without any attention to any color pattern play or anything like that, I just just used everything my mom had left over. So that might be where that's where I started, and then after that, I didn't do it for many years. And then, I went to a quilt show in like the mid 90s. It's been early 90s, and where everything was still a little bit leftover 80s, dusty.
Dusty, warm
dusty
tone.
Rose, blue, lavender, you know, so. And I was getting a little old, so, I don't know. So, and I said, then when I first started really getting into it, I fell in love with the work of Mary and Connie at Country Threads.
Right, yes.
And that real dirty country look. And I was always raised in the country, so I kind of liked country stuff. And so I did a lot of plaid. My wife used to say my favorite color was brown and plaid, or she made that one word, actually. So, and then discovered case facet fabrics, and I thought, oh, my gosh, this is so wild.
Yeah, that's a huge change.
Yeah, I know, and it kind of was gradual. I think I started with his wovens, which worked in, and then just moved on. So no one believes me now that I used to really work in plaid and brown and tan.
But you still like vintage yourself.
I do, I do. In fact, I am doing a quilt along on my blog this next 2 weeks my kids just walked in the room when I told them that, and he was working, and they weren't. They're leaving now.
Hi, kids.
Hi. Bye.
Bye.
I love you.
So you're doing this a hop.
They're teenagers.
So it's called the Bar Hop Quilt.
Oh, yes, I know. And one of my bloggers said, do you think they're going to be offended by that? So I made sure I listed candy bars, snack bars, sand bars. Yes. There's all kinds of bars in the world. I don't really even go to bars that much, so, but candy bars I love. So.
It's good. It's good.
And, go ahead.
I was going to say, just tell me a little bit about the what a blog hop is for those who might not know have participated in one.
Okay, yeah. And so there's all different kinds. There's book hops and that type of stuff, which you've sponsored a lot of. But this one is like each day I have a different blogger. They create their own block and directions for their block. And so we're coming up with 14 original, hopefully mostly original blocks. And I don't think anything's new under the sun necessarily, but there's some interesting blocks coming out. I'm really excited about them. The fabric we're using is from Clothworks, and it's the European taupe 8 or 7 or something like that, I think. And it's very traditional looking in the fabric, but I have a lot of modern quilters on this block hop. And I actually challenge them to use a more traditional fabric because I don't like the line that seems to be drawn sometimes between traditional and modern, and I like to cross, well, I like to cross a lot of boundaries. I'm not very PC myself.
Well, that's fun, though, to challenge people, because you yourself, I mean, don't you like to have a little challenge sometimes?
Oh, love it, different? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so your hop, besides doing a block and using fabric that maybe is different, they also can only use what, squares and rectangles?
They have to put a rectangle in there somewhere. That's the bar
just
part.
One rectangle. Okay.
One or two or three or however many. I don't care. I just said you have to use a bar in there somewhere. So last fall I did something called Quilt Uberfest, and I think I required them to use a triangle or flying. I think I said use a flying geese. Goose block part in there somewhere. So, in the last year, we used a fabric from Free Spirit by Nell Whatmore. I forget. Sleeping Beauty was the name of that line. So,
you have a quilt in the October issue of American Patchwork and Quilting magazine that is just fantastic, called Crack the Code. Tell me a little bit about how you pulled this color palette together. How do you work when you're doing that?
Well, that palette actually was all one line, so that is kind of a cheater. It was all David Butler's first line called "Curious Nature."
I wouldn't guess that.
But it could vary. But see, I've worked really hard to make sure it looks scrappy. So
yeah, you did an excellent job. I would not have guessed that was all one line.
Yeah, I love scrappy. So easily that could be mixed with. Put in some more blacks and browns and stuff. It's funny because I just got that quilt back and I remembered quilting it, and it had been snowing off and on here, and the palette is pretty much the landscape it was here, brown, black, white, gross in places, but very nice in the quilt. And I thought it would be cool to have like orange. I remember seeing a picture of a birdhouse with orange streamers on it out in the snow, and that wasn't where it came from.
Yeah.
But I remember that picture a lot, so I really like the orange against all that, and just a little hint of orange, you know. So,
Well, when you are building, let's say, a palette that's not, you know, using one line, what approach do you use? Do you have a main fabric? Do you have a color scheme in mind? What do you do?
Usually, I have a story I'm trying to tell or something with it, so I pick the colors in that story. Like right now, I'm working on one. For a line of fabric for market, it's called Gypsy River Camp. But I also can see the same quilt I'm working on. I'm really excited to do the next one because I want to do the same thing again in the slightly bigger one and do it in jewel tones and stuff, thinking of a gypsy wagon. So, sometimes it's a theme fabric. I just picked up some African fabric yesterday up in Laconia, Washington. That this might be a cool. To start with this fabric and pull from that, but I like to use lots and lots of colors and lots of prints. So I pick every conceivable color I can. If it has even a hint of it, I'll take it.
So if a print has just a little bit of orange, is that what you mean? If you want orange in your quilt, you'll look at fabric that even has just a little bit of orange in it. Is that
right?
Is that
this one I'm looking at has a little tiny bit of orange, white, black, and hot pink and a cheddar color. And I would pick different pinks, different blacks, different oranges, different yellows. Because I think the more the merrier, actually, is what I tend to think. And sometimes it gets overwhelming to some people. Some people don't like my work because it's too busy. Mm-hmm. But I've really been falling in love with using, instead of using value, which is the major worker in quilts, I think. I've been falling in love with hot and cold colors. So, and using all cold colors to contrast the hot colors, you know. So I think that's an interesting concept.
On your website, which is Blue Nickel Studios, with an S on it, .com, you also have a free pattern page and you have a gallery. So people can go there and check out your color combinations. Because I don't think they're that crazy.
Well, you know, a lot of people, and it's funny because a couple of years ago I got labeled as a modern quilter, and I don't really filter, there's like some rules for modern quilting that I don't really fit, I don't think, because I'm a little too busy. But I love my work, or I wouldn't do it. So
I know. I do, too. I love your work, Scott. I think it's a fantastic way for people to take a look at what you're doing and how you're combining your fabrics, because you have a lot of play and a lot of passion for it. You can just see you're not afraid to just put this next to that.
And I think that's really important, not to worry about, you know, if it's, oh, this pink doesn't quite match this other pink. Just put it together and add three more pinks, and you're fine, I think. You know, Freddie Moran, I remember reading Freddie Moran said, if 10 colors don't work, make it 100, it should work, you know. So
yeah.
That's kind of how I look at it, too. And I, when I've taught, you know, I have people to ask, check with me on colors, and I ask them a lot, do you like it? Because
right.
they asked me to bless their. Actually, this right. summer I said, she was one student said, "Will you bless my color choices for me?" I said, "Well, okay." But you know, I really think people, if you like it, do it, and don't be afraid to mix things and be bold and it and if you have, take a picture, just any picture you like, you know, if you like that picture, pick the colors in it and go with that, you know, or your wardrobe or. Your nail polishes, if you're, you know, on a, if you're a woman, on your nail polishes on your counter, pick those colors. You like them enough to put them on your fingers all day. So,
That's a good thought. Are you? Do you have a class schedule? You have your classes that you do. Do you have a schedule where you're teaching at your site also?
It's kind of sporadic right now. So I've been, I do work other day jobs too. So. My time is limited. I am speaking locally next spring. I'm pretty much booked up for this first this year. And I don't remember. I think I'm not teaching Sisters next year, but I'm planning. I really enjoy. I don't do a lot of teaching, but I really enjoy teaching at Sisters, the outdoor quilt show this summer, and I had a great time doing that. So I'm open for people who want to call me up and invite me. So I'm pretty open that way. So.
just contact Scott. You never know. You never know. And also, you like Instagram. We just have like a really brief second. What, you haven't found on Instagram?
Oh, yeah, I am. In fact, this last weekend I was at a quilt show, and that's about all I had time for. So it's so fast. It's like a quick way to interact with people that I haven't had time. I haven't had time to keep my blog up or, you know, Twitter. So it's like Instagram, just take a picture and snap, type a little bit, and you're done. So.
And are you the same name on Instagram? Because it's not as easy to see the photos.
I think I'm Blue Nickel 5. Blue Nickel 5, that almost finds me everywhere because I have three kids and a wife. So I started at that number 5 for some reason. So
yeah. Well, Scott, this has been wonderful to have you on. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate the time, and it was a pleasure.
Visit Scott at BlueNickelStudios.com. We'll be right back.
Free stuff. Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
We're back at the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. It's a great show, folks. Don't forget to mind your P's and Q's with Applejack, an alphabet-themed collection by Tim and Beck. Next, we're taking a journey to a whimsical land filled with cute critters, flowers, and sweet confections with Cherry on Top by Keiki. Hallelujah! The muted reds, navies, and creams of Old Glory Gatherings by Primitive Gatherings brings a nostalgic feel to the runway. And now, something for the men in your life. Trails End combines the beauty of fall leaves and wildlife. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 Hook. Sew quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit Bernina.com/7 Series. Bernina, made to create.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook.
Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I have machine quilter, author, and soon to be, or might now be, fabric designer, Angela Walters on. She's been on the show before to talk about machine quilting because that is her specialty. And I thought it'd be great to have her come back on and talk about a little bit more machine quilting because her passion for it, like my previous guest, just, you know, is to be matched by none other. She loves quilting as much as I do. Hi, Angela.
Hey, Pat. How are you?
I am so great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks for having me on.
So, you know, I want to talk a little bit about how we can motivate, you know, sort of people to quilt their own quilts because you have such a passion for quilting your quilts. What do you tell people to sort of jumpstart them into doing some quilting for themselves?
Well, you know, I think quilting is the funnest part, so I think that everybody else should feel the same way, right? But I find in my classes that most people don't really care for the quilting because they're scared. And they're just kind of, you know, they've spent a long time making this beautiful quilt top, and then they're scared they're going to ruin it with the quilting. And it's, I think, that fear or that trepidation that really kind of holds them back. But I just try to tell people, you know, relax, enjoy the process, and it's not going to be that bad. You know, I think people are just way too hard on themselves in general.
I do think so. I mean, there are people who just call themselves toppers, you know, that's all. Yeah, that's all they do. They just do tops. And, you know, and that's fine because then it gives, you know, lots of people a job to quilt their quilts. But, you know, like I agree with you. I think people can take that step to quilt their own. You know, do you have like sort of a beginning sort of process or step that you know makes people successful with their first tries?
Well, I always talk about drawing out the quilting before you start. I feel like once your brain can figure out how the design flows, then once you jump on your quilt and do it, at that point, it's just about getting the feel for your machine. But when you sit at your machine, you're not exactly sure how the design's going to go. You're kind of tense. You're freaking out a little bit. It's not going to flow as well as it could have. When I started machine quilting, I had young children, even younger than they are now, and so I didn't get to quilt a lot. So I would spend my free time drawing out the designs, and I find that really helped translate from the paper to the actual quilt. So I always say practice drawing. 80% of it is just knowing where to go next. Once you start quilting, you just need to know where to go next, and once you can get that groove down or that flow, then it's all smooth sailing from there.
You know, a lot of the quilts that you personally do, you know, like your personal quilts, they're a little bit more open to show off your quilting. For a lot of quilters, they might do things a little bit more block based, you know, traditional blocks. You know, what's a good way to think about a quilt that's sort of block based, like a sampler or like a repeat block?
Well, I think that really good quilting complements the quilt top, whether it's traditional or modern solids or prints. The quilting should always complement because they need to work together. So if you're dealing with a sampler, I would just encourage to try using designs that are specific to each block. Now, you don't have to make it so in-depth and so custom quilting that's all you're doing, because I know that some people don't have the desire to do that, and that's completely fine. But I would say just think of the quilt top like a face and use the quilting like you would makeup to enhance the quilt top.
That's a good way. So like for the drawing part, let's go back to that because I think that's something I really personally don't do very much, although I do a little bit of that auditioning what I might do. But I don't actually have like notebooks where I practice that. I sketch for like my applique, but not for the quilting. What kind of sketching do you mean? And describe what somebody might doodle or sketch.
That's an awesome question. I think that everybody should practice sketching. At this point in my quilting career, I don't practice my quilting so much as I, you know, if I'm doing something that's a little bit different, I'm not sure how it's going to go, I have sketchbooks everywhere, so I will practice those out. But when a new quilter is starting out, and let's say that there's a particular design that they're wanting to do, whatever it is, if it's a swirl, a leaf, a pebble, whatever, I just encourage them to draw squares, big squares on their paper, and to fill in that square completely with the design that you're drawing. Learning how to work around spaces and to work in corners, that's something that just comes with practice. And what better to do than to practice on paper than on your quilt top? Or, you know, if you don't want to waste paper, you could do a MagnaDoodle, or there's some apps, you know, for iPads that you could use. Mm-hmm. You just need to get your brain, it doesn't matter how you draw it, you're just working your brain to figure out how to fill in those spaces. I mean, it is a lot like handwriting. You know, you sit down and you practice writing your A's over and over and over again. Well, soon you can do it without even thinking about it, and it's just your handwriting or your quilting style. So I would tell somebody, draw squares on their paper and fill it in, work their way around that, and that will help them when time comes to start quilting.
Now, one of the things that I've told people to do is also quilt day after day after day versus, okay, especially when they're starting, versus quilt today and then don't quilt for three more weeks. Have you noticed that with your students or people like on your, you know, who leave you comments on your blog and stuff, that they'll say, oh, you know, I did it and then I didn't quilt again for like 3 months and it's like starting over?
Yeah, I think there is a little bit to that because it's a skill, and any skill that you have, I don't think you'll ever forget it, but you just kind of have to knock the rust off and kind of get it, you know, get it going again. But I think, yeah, I like the quilting, so that's all I do. I don't make quilts very often, so I'm fortunate in that I don't have to worry about getting rusty. But if somebody is, you know, wanting to really work on that, then I would encourage even just a little bit of drawing every day, just kind of trying to keep it fresh. But it doesn't have to be stressful. Like, I don't think somebody should say, I have to sit down for 10 minutes and draw or I'll never be a great quilter. That's not necessarily the case, you know. And I think everybody has time to doodle, you know, when they're supposed to be paying attention to something else. So you could always work it in that way.
Meetings, on the phone, waiting somewhere. That's
absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's talk about your book, In the Studio with Angela. What is the concept behind this book?
Well, it's a little bit different than anything I've done before. The first book, Free Motion Quilting with Angela Walters, was all design-based. It was how to do different quilting designs and then pictures of how they look on quilts. The second book is quilt project-based. So it's actually a book of quilt patterns. But each chapter, I talk about the quilting and how to use the quilting to add another layer of art on the quilt. So when I'm looking at a quilt top, I'm getting ready to quilt it. What is the desired effect that I want? So, for instance, one chapter is movement, using the quilting to add movement. How would you do that? And so the whole chapter, I show examples. I talk about different ways to add movement. And at the end of the chapter is a quick and easy quilt pattern that you can piece and quilt like I did or however you would like to quilt it. Some of the other things I talk about is how to add texture with quilting, how to add color, how to use quilting to tell a story. It's more about, I always say quilting is form and function. I think quilting is beautiful, but it also serves a function of holding the quilt together. And so this is more about the function of quilt, or the form of quilting, using it to add that extra layer of art onto the quilt. So I'm pretty excited about it. It's the first time I've ever designed quilt patterns for a book, but each one was designed with the quilting in mind. Like, I already knew what quilting that I wanted to do, so I just had to make a quilt to go around that.
And it's interesting because you actually use a lot of solids in this particular book for the quilts, because then the quilting shows up better.
Absolutely. Yeah. I like solids, but that would probably be the main reason. I don't have to turn the quilt over to see the quilting anymore. I can just see it from the front.
Yeah, that's very true. Now, talk about thread a little bit, because when you're working now, you know, and I'm saying let's keep it for sort of more entry level quilters, you know, people who are just sort of getting their feet wet. Are you recommending, or would you recommend using thread colors to sort of match where you're going to be quilting, or, you know, when do you start telling people to go for those high contrast threads?
Well, It's so subjective, Pat. Everybody has what they love to do, and you should always do what you like. But what I like quilting that blends in with the quilt. I want the quilting to not outshine the piecing as far as visually. And I can also do really dense, really intricate quilting because I use thread that matches. If I used a contrasting thread, it would just be way too much for the quilt. So I personally like thread that blends in. I like superior threads. I think they blend really well. But that's just my personal preference. But for a newer quilter, I would definitely stay blending threads, because then once you're done, you've washed the quilt, you're looking at it, you're not going to see every bump and bobble, and you're just going to be proud of what you've done. Once you get into contrasting threads, then every little mistake or every little imperfection is just so glaring. And that could be a little bit disheartening for a new quilter. So I would definitely stick with the matching thread.
Good tip. Good tip. In the Studio is the name of the book, with In the Studio with Angela Walters from Stash Books. Now, tell me about your fabric line.
You know, and it kind of goes back to the whole drawing of the quilting designs. I have sketchbooks filled with drawings and, you know, new kind of designs I like to try. And I just thought these would make really neat fabric designs. And I'm a big believer in, you know, if you don't know how something's done, go figure it out and just do it until you it works. And so it took a while, but I finally put together a line that was based on the quilting designs and the textures that I see with the quilting. And I thought, you know, these designs could be their own thing instead of just quilting. And Art Gallery Fabrics was so great to see that vision and trust it in, as much as I did. And so they picked up the collection called Textures. And the one thing I'm excited about it about is it contains a panel, a modern quilt panel. So, which, you know, I designed because in my classes that I teach, I say, you know, practice your machine quilting on a quilt panel. You know, you get the effect of quilting on a quilt, but you don't have to worry that you're going to ruin something that you've pieced. So they, you know, trusted me on that, and I'm really excited. So it'll be shipping to stores in March. It's called Textures.
And what's the colorway real quick before we're done?
There is a teal, like a silver, and like a chartreuse green.
Ah, Angela, I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. Thank you. And thanks for everything. You've been a great support through everything.
Oh, well, you are amazing. I just really love your work, and everybody should visit Angela Walters at quiltingismytherapy.com, all one word, so you can keep up with her. And she even has classes, so you can go and hang out with her someday. Thanks.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Thanks, Angela.
Thank you, Pat. Bye.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We're going to take a break and come back with our last guest.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration.
The Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show is about to start. First up, the exotic fabrics of Cusco by Kate Spain and Chant, with rich fuchsia, indigo, and orchid. Do you hear that? It's the ocean breezes coming from the Seascapes collection by Deb Strain. It's no mystery. You'll love the Get a Clue with Nancy Drew line. Hearts and flowers and houndstooth, oh my. Kissing Booth by Basic Gray brings romance to the runway. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 Hook. Sew quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit bernina.com/7 series. Bernina, made to create.
there's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ Magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and my last guest is also not afraid of pattern or color or combining amazing things. Most of you know Jay McCarroll as the first person who won Project Runway, but his journey didn't start there or end there for all the creative things that he has done. And so I'm really excited to have Jay come on and tell us a little bit about his fabric lines and about his work and, you know, kind of new things that are happening for him. Hi, Jay. Thanks for being here.
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm great. You know, tell me a little bit about why you love textiles so much, Jay.
Well, I mean, it started very, very early for me. My mother, I'm going to give credit to my mother on this one. she made the high school marching band uniforms. And she was the uniform lady, and she also made the flags for the color guard. Mm-hmm. So from a very early age, two of my sisters were in the color guard in the marching band. So from an early age, I was always kind of collecting all the scraps that she had from sewing the flags. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of when my hoarding began of textiles. And then I just was sewing my whole life, and I was a chubby kid. I'm still a chubby adult, I guess. but I would have to hem. She would hem my pants, and eventually the stack of pants just kind of kept growing. So I was basically forced to learn how to sew. So, you know, then that became another resource for me to start hoarding more fabric. And then I went to college at Philadelphia College of Textiles and Science, which is the first textile school in America, which I teach there currently, and I'm currently sitting in the parking lot right now because I'm technically in the middle of class. Students are in the building doing work, and I'm sitting in the parking lot doing a radio interview. So, so now I teach there, and I've always just loved fabric. I had a little blanket when I was a child with a satin trim on it. Wow, you're really making me work with the nostalgia here.
I know. Well, you know, we want to hear where this all started because, you know, nothing just pops out, does it? I mean, everybody's got this nice history of why they love what they're doing.
It makes you kind of want to be a little bit more careful with how you're influencing children because eventually that might pop up in their adult life somewhere, which, you know, could be used for good or bad. But, you know, so
what do you teach at college, Jay? What is your class about?
In the fall semester, I teach a class called Portfolio Layout. So I work with senior fashion design students to help them do like branding exercises to, you know, do a business card and a letterhead and hang tag and label for the back of their clothes. So and then we work on their portfolios to get a nice looking portfolio to get a job out in the fashion industry.
And then, Such a good man you are, helping them get jobs. You also had your own stores prior. You owned a studio or a boutique, right?
I had a vintage shop, and I sold my own stuff there. It was called Round 2. So I sold vintage clothing and clothing and accessories that I made myself as well.
Now, how did you decide or what happened to put you into the world of quilts?
Well, I'm from Pennsylvania, and I grew up about 2 hours from Lancaster County, which obviously is a hotbed of quilting. So as a child, I would go there, and my sister, Janet, is an avid quilter, and she worked with quilters doing kind of more of the technical aspect of things, creating quilts for books and whatnot. Actually, I was just at her house this morning. I'm sure she'll be listening to this, so she'll be very happy. And she's working on 3 quilts for me out of my new line of fabric, Center City. So we were kind of pinning things up on the wall and rearranging things. And she's a fabulous technical quilter, about 900 times better than I'll ever be. So she does all my quilting for me. So we were arranging all that kind of stuff. So she got me interested, and my mother was a sewer, and so, you know, being near Lancaster County, I was kind of always fascinated with that kind of thing. And my father was a bricklayer, and did masonry work. So my whole life has been made of little components, fabric scraps, bricks and little stones and pieces and things. So kind of between my mother and father and family, I've ended up with this, inkling to want to work with tiny little pieces of things, fabric. So quilting actually was perfect for that because it, you know, it's all about tiny little pieces creating a bigger picture, and I just love it. I collect quilts. I think they're so beautiful.
What kind of quilts do you collect? What do they, you know, do you piece quilts, applique quilts, old quilts, new quilts?
Definitely old piece quilts. I'm kind of a equal opportunity purchaser. When it comes to quilts, I will buy a 75-cent quilt. I will buy a $200 quilt. So yeah, I just have a collection of quilts. Not a huge collection, but definitely something I'm collecting on over the years. And just because I know how much love goes into it and how much time and effort it really takes, and it's always interesting to me to see how people put colors together and textures and prints together. So, you know, they're definitely a source of inspiration for me.
So tell me about Center City. How did you design this line? It's a really fabulous line.
Oh, thank you. And I just think it's so different than a lot of things that are out in the marketplace right now. I live in Philadelphia. I live in the city. I live in the center of Philadelphia. And I have a very urban experience. But yet I have kind of a rural
yes.
upbringing. That is a hard word to say. Rural upbringing.
Yes.
So that kind of plays into my work too. But I want to do something very urban, very, city living. I feel like a lot of things that are out in the marketplace are, you know, women sitting in a hayfield with, you know, a tractor and a bowl of cherry tomatoes or something. My lifestyle is a totally different lifestyle than that. And I want that to reflect through my fabric. For now, I mean, you know, I'll probably do a cherry tomato print next season or something now. But, so yeah, I wanted to give a very urban thing. So we have graffiti and brick, and my sister Marsha lives in Denver, Colorado, so I have a print named after Denver. So in the line, it's called Center City, and I have 3 colorways, Uptown, Midtown, and Downtown, and each print is named after a different American city. And all cities I've been to and I love, and so I just kind of wanted to capture the air of that city in that print, you know.
I like the one that is like a map. It's like we're on Google Maps or something, looking down at the streets and the plots. I really like that one.
Los Angeles. Los Angeles is very, have you ever been to Los Angeles?
I have.
And it feels like that. Like windy. Lots of intersections and crazy. And actually my mother just clipped out a, newspaper article recently that said that anything map print is in fashion for home decor right now. So I was right on trend with that, which is good.
Excellent.
So, yeah, I'm very excited. I love that one, and I'm getting really great response on that one. That one's really being eaten up by the consumers right now, which I love.
Yeah, is this available now, or will it just be showing at the trade show?
No, it just came out, so it's in stores now.
Yep, oh, it's in the
all
stores
over
now.
The U.S.
Okay.
And there's a shop in London carrying it as well, so which I'm very excited about because I studied in London. I lived in London. I studied at the London College of Fashion. So it's really interesting that my life has come full circle like that.
Yeah, so, you'll have to go visit your fabric in London. That would be really fun.
I'll have to sell a lot more fabric than to get to pay for a trip to London. So if anybody's out there, make sure they're buying Center City so I can go visit it in London.
Now, you told me you have another new venture with socks.
Yes. I have a line of socks coming out. They just landed here this week, so they will be available shortly. I'm selling them in a couple retail outlets, as well as my ruthless plug, jmccarroll.com. So just keep checking back there. Yeah, and the sock line is something I've been wanting to do for a long time. I love to wear fun, colorful socks, and I feel like, you know, you might not want to buy a dress from me, but I think a lot of people can wear, most everybody can wear socks. So I thought that would be a really great thing to give my people out there. So they're fun, yeah. They're colorful. There's 4 colorways, 7 designs, and, you know, polka dots and stripes and blocks, and they're very quilty. So hopefully the my quilting ladies will embark.
I think so. We'll have to go hunting for them. Are they going to be like in regular stores or just boutique type stores? I mean, will they be in chains or big
just
Nordstrom's or?
Well, one can hope, one can wish. So this is my first venture into it. So we're going to see who's interested in it. We're still in the kind of selling process. So
okay.
But they'll definitely be available on my website.
Look on your website. That is really good. Are you going to be out and about teaching where somebody could meet you besides taking a class at the university with you?
I do. Yeah, I do meet and greets and appearances and teach classes. I'll be at QuiltCon in February in Austin, which I'm so excited about. And,
oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm not going to Houston this month, which I'm bummed out about, but I have other obligations, which stinks. But, you know. I'm always available for bookings.
Okay.
Always available to come and teach and chit-chat and talk about color. And basically, I do these classes and people, some don't even have sewing skills, but they just want to hang out and get Project Runway gossip. So, and I'm perfectly fine with doing that as well. So, yeah. I wish someone would pay me to eat lunch with them. That's what I really want.
Yeah.
Lunch with Jay. That should be
lunch with
new
Jay.
Series.
That could be like a whole new thing for you. You could just start that. Just lunch with Jay.
It's true. We could blog and we can Skype and vlog and Twitter and Pinterest and Instagram, and it would just be a big social media lunch. That'd be good.
Well, Jay, this has been fabulous. Thanks for telling us about how you got started and your new line. Congratulations.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you. Visit Jay McCarroll at his website, jmccarroll online, oneword.com. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Come back next week when we have all new guests. We'll see you then.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.